Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Hold on, I got to push this button and pull that, push this button, lift that button. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I am your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner. I'm going to throw in Oracle. You know, titles, do they really matter? I don't think so. Most importantly, a student. Trust me, I am up here studying, looking in the mirror, the whole nine yards, because happiness is a practiced skill. After 45 years, after four decades plus 5 years of studying this, happiness is a practiced skill, just like any other skill, from writing to speaking to acting to being a professional athlete, a musician, an opera singer, a chef, a painter, a landscaper. Happiness is a practice skill, and that's the good news. When you make a commitment, and if you choose to prioritize this thing we call happiness, and let me be very clear about what I mean when I say happiness, because I get a lot of pushback. I don't like that word happy. I think joy is more of a description. Okay, I get it. Scratch the words. Forget the words. Focus on the vibration. Focus on the vibration of contentment. Everybody understands what that means. A vibration of contentment, and I'm talking about a vibration of contentment that never leaves you, that is always there, that is foundational, that becomes your identity when you practice. Practice what? Practice eliminating all the program behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your happiness. And then practice adding and cultivating those behaviors that add to happiness. It's very, very simple. Program behaviors, I'm up to 54 program behaviors, soon to be memorialized in the book Program for Unhappiness, which is coming out in less than 2 months. I know I've been working on this book forever, but less than 2 months. And before I go on, first of all, welcome everyone. And if you want to call in and speak with me live, the number here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. And or if you're listening on Wisdom, just ask to join the conversation. Let me finish my introduction. I get a lot of new followers, new listeners, new emails, some complaints. I really like the complaints. Yeah, I mean, I'm, and let me just say this. I am not pretending to have all the answers, to have all the solutions, but what I can tell you is I've been practicing this for 45 years, trial and error. And so what I tell my son is, I have the answers to the test. I'm giving you the answers, at least some of the answers. How about that? Happiness is a practice skill. Let me give you my definition of happiness. I realize that we are all different. I say we are as different as our fingerprints, but let me give you my definition of happiness. My definition of happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace and contentment regardless of what happens. And regardless of what's not happening. You know, all those expectations that just didn't pull through. So happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace regardless of what happens. On this journey, I'm just like you. There's a lot of curveballs, baseball bats to the back of the head, blind sides, roadblocks, hurdles, brick walls. I'm the same. But what do I practice? In those moments, the practice, when you're talking about what do you do, how do you behave, what are some of the behaviors that will add, that will bring, that will multiply your ability to experience more happiness along the journey? I'm glad you asked that question. Some of the practices is needing and desiring to experience more happiness in this lifetime. And again, when I say happiness, it is an energy that I'm talking about. It is an energy of contentment, an energy of peace. You know when you feel, you take a deep breath out, a sigh out, shoulders are down, life is good. Even if you're in the middle of the storm. So my example is you're standing in a rowboat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Not close to the shore, in the middle where all the tsunamis and the storms happen. And you're standing in the rowboat and the rowboat is being tossed and turned just like life. That's what it does. It tosses and turns and then sometimes spits you out unceremoniously. But you're standing in that boat. You're standing in the middle of a storm. And you are at peace with everything and with life. And how can that even happen? Here we go. Some of the things to practice that are going to add, cultivate, and are proven behaviors that add to your inner peace, contentment, and happiness are choosing, prioritizing, making a commitment to happiness. To inner peace, that is important. Number one, more than anything else, more than this thing that the world says is success. Now, my definition of success is being able to smile and laugh on my deathbed. Speaking about death, let me just share with you really quickly, and I always share this at the beginning of the show. If you've heard it a million times, this is a million and one. It is you can Google it. It's a study done by a hospice nurse who her patients were dying. They had days to live, weeks to live, months to live. And she asked them, what are your biggest regrets? So these people, one foot in the grave, what are your biggest regrets? And guess what? There were five regrets that kept coming back over and over and over again. So she wrote a book about it, and it's called The Five Most Common Regrets of the Dying. You can Google it. And the first one is, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. The second regret of the dying is, I wish I didn't work so hard. Shout out to all my workaholics. What's up, workaholics? I don't have that problem. Scratch that. I don't have that issue. It's not a problem. It's just whatever. Scratch that. I don't have that. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind That's number three. Number four is I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friend. I don't have that one either. The issue is sometimes we just outgrow these people. There's nothing wrong with them, and there's nothing wrong with you. We just outgrow them. And the fifth one is I wish I would have let myself be happier. Now, if that isn't a powerful study, these people are at the end of the line, at the end of the road, and they're coming up with their biggest regrets, and absolutely none of these regrets, you heard them, you listened as I read them, or maybe not. Not one of them said, I wish I would have made a lot of money and been successful and everybody knew my name. Listen, I'm not poo-pooing any of that, not making a judgment, but that wasn't listed. None of it. I wish I had more money. None of it. The game is, scratch that, goal too. Prioritizing, making a commitment just like you need to breathe, and that is me to a T. Today's show, I have two questions for you. And I would love it if you would participate or not. Or just think about it. Holding grudges. Don't tell anybody. Promise you're not gonna tell anybody. I was the queen, bar none. I held the Guinness Book of Records, holding a grudge. I could hold a grudge for years, decades. I'm trying to think of the decades. Sure, decades. Yes, decades. I'm just thinking of my ex-husband's brother. Yes, decades. I can hold a grudge for decades. And let me be very, very clear. I'm not the one holding the grudge. My ego is holding the grudge. My ego is holding a grudge. And what is it that you have to have? What are some of the ingredients to holding a grudge? Let's break that down to the least common denominator. First of all, let me ask you a question. Do you think that you will be or would be able to experience the highest state of contentment and still hold a grudge? The highest state of inner peace, just being able to feel peaceful in every single moment you're breathing and hold a grudge? So these things, peace and grudge holding, are incompatible. Like oil and water, incompatible. And know that all of this, when I say coming from my ego, it just comes from this thing we call pride. Pride. Well, one of the practices is to eliminate, to let go of all of that useless, destructive, good-for-nothing pride. Peace and pride cannot live in the same place. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being proud of self. I'm talking about I'm so prideful, I'm not going to make the first phone call. No, they need to call me first. You follow? You understand? That's the pride that I'm talking about. No, they don't get the satisfaction. I need to hold on and give them the cold shoulder just a little bit longer, just a few more years. Well, you know, and I know that holding on to any grudge has absolutely no benefit. It provides absolutely no benefit for the host that's holding the grudge. Let me be very, very clear. the ego. So there's two entities that are conflicting. Always there's a conflict. There's the ego. I call it the ego. You can call it whatever you want. That those thoughts, the critical mind that just never shuts up. That those voices, those stories, those feel bad stories, those bad news stories, you know, that never ever quiet. That is what I call the ego. That entity that lives, breathes, needs, feeds on discontent. There is never a good day if you listen to my ego. Well, there may be a good moment, a few moments of, yeah, this is great. And then what happens an hour later? See, the ego can't be, I'm not going to say can't be trusted, but the ego needs to be, the description, recognize as to what it is and what it does. That's all I'm saying. No judgment. You know, I have a few people in the queue. Let's see. The number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And just press the number 1 and you'll come up immediately. And you can ask a question or make a comment. And you know the interesting thing about this show, and I'm used to it. The show, I've been teaching these classes, The Truth About Happiness, for 15 years now, California, Oregon, and now Nevada. And one of the things that just keeps happening over and over, it's just what happens. It's just, it is what it is people get angry, people get their buttons pushed, if people get are bothered, annoyed, buttons pushed by some of the things that I say. And I just received a horrible comment. Oh, what a terrible, oh, what an insulting comment. Oh, well, and that's another practice. When you are, when someone attacks you negatively or just has something not productive to say, they're criticizing you with an agenda, okay, let me just back up a little bit. What does the man with the hump in his back want more than anything else? You know, the man that can't stand up straight, the man that walks with the hunched over. What does that man want more than anything else? The man with the hump in his back. Well, he wants you to have a hump too. This thing about misery loves company. No, misery needs company. So these people that attack or are angry or make comments, all it is a reflection of who they are. It has nothing to do with you. Any attack, it's never personal. I'm used to it. I'm so used to people attacking. And how the hell can people attack a happiness specialist? It can be done. It's done all the time. I get the emails every week. But it's not personal, and so that's another practice. But back to the non-programmed behaviors that are going to add, I promise you, that are going to add to your inner peace, contentment, and happiness. And here we go. I started giving you a few. Thank goodness I remembered. So the first one is making a commitment, prioritizing, wanting, needing, desiring this thing, this inner peace more than anything else. Practice living consciously. What that means is practice being self-aware. That is what are you saying and why are you saying it? What is your agenda? What are you saying and why are you saying it? Before you just start yakety-yakety-yak-yakking, the practice is being self-aware. The more self-aware you are, the more successful you're going to be with this happiness thing. choosing peace in all moments. So in any moment, you either choose drama or peace. Practicing acceptance, that means acceptance of self, acceptance of others, acceptance of whatever situation you're finding yourself in, acceptance of your circumstances, surrendering without resistance to the moment. What does that mean? What does that mean, surrendering without resistance? That means if I've been waiting for 6 months to receive a letter, if I've been waiting for 6 months and it's still the letter hasn't come, then the universe deems that it's not time. See, if anything is happening, it's supposed to happen. And if it's not happening, it's not supposed to happen, including these holding on to grudges. Because holding on to a grudge has nothing to do with the other person. Holding on to grudges have something to do with the person in the mirror. The person in the mirror. That's right. It's you. So the question is, why are you holding a grudge when you know that it's not good for you? And I'm talking about good for your soul, healthy food, soul food. Ooh, that was pretty good. Soul food, not soul food, soul food. Big difference. What are you benefiting? What are you getting out of holding on to a grudge? What are you getting out of it? I just remember, I used to think that, I used to think that if I didn't speak to someone, or if I wasn't, if I wasn't speaking to someone, or I didn't, you know, that cold shoulder, hold a grudge forever, if I wasn't speaking to somebody, that they were suffering, that they were the ones suffering. They're suffering because I'm not speaking to them. Can you imagine? Yeah, that's how I used to live. That's the truth. And so what I love to do on this show, remember the Wizard of Oz, and the wizard was behind the curtain, and Toto the dog was pulling on the curtain to expose the wizard in his little box, and he's, you know, making all the smoke happen, the lights happening, the thunder, you know, making it all happen, and he's in this little closet. And all I'm doing here is sharing with you that who I used to be, needing to be right, master of holding grudges, Guinness Book grudge holding record. So my question to you is, what are you holding on to? What is a grudge that you are holding on to? Oh, hold on a second. I see that someone wants to make a comment. Okay, here we go. Let me do this, click on that so we can hear. And welcome Noel.
Welcome.
Thank you for asking to join. What's your comment or question? And welcome.
Well, thank you. I actually have several thoughts about this. You sort of implied that holding a grudge, you do this, or some people do this, because they are trying to hurt the other person by denying them resolution of the feelings, resolution of the conflict. And, you know, that it really does. It really does hurt them. That's not an illusion. There are people in my life that I've made a good faith effort to apologize, to make amends, and they withhold that closure, they withhold the reconciliation. They hold the grudge, and the grudge hurts. It really genuinely does when you love the other person, especially when it's a member of your family, for example. The grudge really does hurt. But I also recognize that I can do everything in my power to reconcile with that person. And, like, I have a sister, for example, who she's holding a grudge against me. I have no idea what it's even for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have gone to her and I said, look, clearly you have a problem with me. I don't know why. She said, just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I have thought about it. I've given it a lot of thought. I've prayerfully contemplated our relationship. I've searched my memory for anything that I could have done that I haven't already sincerely apologized for and tried to make things right. And I sincerely cannot think of a single thing. Will you please at least tell me what it is I'm supposed to have done wrong?
Hmm.
And she's like, no, if you think about it, you'll come up with the answer. And
Hold on a second, and I would love for you to come back if you have the time. I just have to make a comment. When I was talking about the holding grudges, it was really about me and what I was doing and my motivation. I definitely do not pretend to know what other people. But let me just say something. Put your seatbelt on for this, my dear Noel. Put your seatbelt on. You ready?
I'm driving in the car, so I've already.
Okay. Somebody, I don't care if it's my twin sister, if somebody tells me to sit and think about it, what a mean thing to do, and then claim to love you. Mother, father, twin sister, somebody that puts me through that kind of torture and isn't loving, because to me, that doesn't feel like love at all. What it feels like is a program of, see, when let me just speak for myself. When I would hold a grudge and have people beg me to come back and beg me what's wrong and tell me that I'm sorry, don't think that didn't happen. Beg me and say, I'm sorry. It's all about control of the other person. And I'm not interested in anybody. Well, scratch that. Let me just be very clear. My energy isn't compatible with that type of person. And know that that type of person is operating on a program. This thing about holding grudges and thinking, it's all a program to make someone else do or behave in a way so that, so they, and I want you to come back, so they will feel better. It has nothing to do with you. You know, they want to, I just think that's a really mean thing to do, especially when you claim you love someone.
You're not wrong. Yeah, and I honestly don't know if she even makes that claim that she loves me. I don't know if she, so like the other day I got a pretty severe cut on my finger. She's a physician's assistant. I sent her a picture. She kind of gave me a little consult by text message, and I thought that was nice. So she's willing to look out for me in very minor ways like that. That don't cost her anything, but
come back.
Emotional investment.
Come back if you have the time.
Yeah.
I have to say something too when he comes back. What a great, and I see that you're in the queue and you want to say something. So I'll let you in. In a moment, area code 352. In a minute, area code 352. Again, if you want to speak with me live, the number is 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Okay, let me get back. No, let me just say this, and then I want to listen to you. So now it comes back because all of our challenges, all of the solutions to every one of our challenges is found in one place. It's in the mirror. So now I come back to you. Why do you need, or why are you seeking something from a person that could that's mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree with your judgment. I don't find the judgment particularly helpful either, but I don't disagree with it.
Mm.
I mean, sure, you could label that behavior mean. I think everyone really is doing the best they can with what they have in every moment.
That's true.
And, you know, whatever is going on with her, you're right. It is a program. My other sister, I have two younger sisters. I'm the oldest of three. My other sister has straight up told me directly, I do not want to have any kind of relationship with you. And I'm like, why? I don't understand that. She's like, I don't owe you an explanation.
Oh.
I just don't. So, like, you know, when my ex-wife left, she blindsided me with it while I was grieving the death of my grandmother. Like, my grandmother had been dead 2 weeks. I lived with her for about 6 years when I was young. She was like a mother to me. She was very close. It was the most intense period of grieving in my life. 15 days later, my wife hits me, you know, as I come home from a business meeting, I walk in the door. She says, I've moved out today and filed for divorce. I had no warning. And none of these people in my life are willing to do anything. They all talk to each other, by the way. They're all friends. They're all, you say it's a program, they're all on the same program. It's like a conspiracy. Like, they're all connected. They're all chummy. They all hang out. They're all reading the same literature, working off the same program. And my wife refuses to do anything towards reconciliation. Our divorce has been final for about a year. There's no, like, whatever I'm supposed to have done, I ask her, why did you do this? You know, what was the problem? What was so horrible that we couldn't work it out? We have a son, he'll be 5 in November, and doesn't he deserve to grow up in a home with a mom and a dad? She says, oh, it's just a lot of little things. It's just a lot of little things. No one big thing. It's just a lot of little things. I haven't been happy for years. Like that's my fault, or like walking out of the marriage is going to solve the problem. Here's the deep thing about grudges and unforgiveness and all of these hang-ups, right? Whatever the trauma is, whatever the hurt is that they started out with, the grudge is not about that anymore. Holding the grudge is no longer about whatever the initial ostensible hurt was. It's transformed. It's metastasized. It's like a cut that got infected. It was about the cut initially. Mm. Now it's about the infection. Now it's about sepsis. Now it's about the fact that you're going to have a limb amputated because you've let it go.
Mm.
And what happens in that process? To take responsibility in a timely manner for whatever the original hurt was, engage with the other person, and proactively resolve it. If you had done those things, if you had clearly communicated in a kind way to the other person, you hurt my feelings. I feel like you owe me an apology for this. I would like to hear an apology from you for this. Because I would like to see that you're interested in resolving this hurt, this rift. You've caused a rift. I need to see that you love me and care about me, and I need to see you try to resolve this. That never happened. And then the bitterness and the resentment and everything grew, and it compounded, and you started looking for that behavior again in the other person, and whatever you look for, you are going to find. Whether or not it's real, sometimes it's a hallucination, sometimes it's a projection. Whatever you look for, you'll find. And that is the source of the grudge. And it ultimately, you're right, becomes about control. Controlling the other person, and instead of resolving it collaboratively with them,
come back if you can.
Control them,
come back if you can.
I will. Yeah, I will.
Okay. Hold on, area code of 352. Hold on, area code 352. I'm coming to you as soon as I finish talking to Noel, because he's bringing up some really, really good points. And Yes.
Finish what I was saying. Like, you are right in what you were saying before. It's about control, but it's about a specific kind of control. It's about a control that is seeking to prevent the same kind of harm from happening again. So this is the visual image that I want to put in your mind. Imagine a dog that's been kicked. And the dog at first whimpers and shrinks away and doesn't really do anything, but the trust is broken between the dog and whoever kicked the dog, right? The dog gets kicked again. or, you know, keeps doing the thing, doesn't realize what's going on, and then gets angry and bitter and starts to lash out at that person. They start to bark and growl whenever that person comes around. Maybe the person doesn't understand or doesn't care or whatever, doesn't pick up on it, or just, you know, is like, screw you, dog, whatever, right? Kicks it anyway or does whatever. Eventually, that dog will develop a behavior pattern called defensive aggression. Grudge is a human form of defensive aggression. It recognizes patterns or projects patterns onto other people and uses what would otherwise be healthy boundaries as a way to try to hurt other people and push them away because you've become so paranoid that now you're engaging in defensive aggression. You're trying to control the other person, hold them at arm's length, push them away, but yet there's a conflict. There's always this inner tension and conflict that comes from the attachment that you had before. So you've never really resolved that either. You have an attachment. It's either a loving attachment or an attachment of hate, but it's some kind of attachment. And that's like one of those paddle balls, you know? That's the elastic. The attachment is the elastic cord that keeps bringing that ball back. And the grudge is the paddle that keeps knocking it away. Until finally the whole thing flies apart. Something breaks or someone breaks. Grudges and any form, really, of passive-aggressive, I would say sort of defensive aggression, right? Anything that's like this is extremely, extremely hurtful. And it does hurt the person you're holding the grudge against, but it hurts the person holding the grudge 10 times more, I think. I think the emotional hurt on the person on the wrong end of the grudge, you know, or, you know, the one the grudge is directed at.
The grudgy.
Yeah, the grudgy, right? Yeah, the grudgy is the person who feels the emotional pain. But the person who suffers the deeper psychological and I will say spiritual harm is the grudgeor, the person who's holding the grudge. And I will leave on this note. I'll just sort of finish out on this note. I mentioned spiritual harm. There's a passage in the Gospel according to St. Matthew that says that God will not forgive us our sins unless we forgive other people their sins. And I honestly believe that. Now, I also note that, at least in Christian theology, God does not forgive the unrepentant. He only forgives people who repent of their sins. So it's very important if somebody has done something wrong that they repent, they apologize, they try to make it right, they acknowledge that they did something wrong, the impact of that wrong. There's like a whole six-point formula for a good apology according to science. You can Google it, right? There's six elements that should be satisfied, and two of them are essential, the statement of regret and acknowledging responsibility, right? So you need that in an apology. Those two things are essential. And I don't think that people are obligated to forgive people who have not apologized, who have not repented, who have not tried to make things right. But I will say, and this is my final comment, if you receive an apology from someone or you see someone trying to make a good faith effort to apologize and you hold the grudge anyway, that is going to do you more harm than it ever will do them emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. Thank you.
You're welcome, and I'm going to comment. You said a lot of things, but let me just say this. One of the things that I talk about here is the programming. Even the point to hold a grudge is a program. That's a program, holding grudges. And let me get back to hurting feelings. And I really appreciate your content and your contribution to today's show. You just don't know so many great points. You mentioned something about the Bible and God doesn't forgive. Okay, I have a different take. My belief is totally different, and I get the Bible. Even in the Bible, there is a story about the prodigal son, right? Prodigal son who goes away. I guess there's two sons. Goes away from the father's house. And supposedly does all the bad things, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. back in that day, and then wants to come back home. And what does the father do? The father doesn't ask for an apology. The father doesn't ask for 6 points to, you have to hit each one of these. I'm not into that. I'm not into that. No, you don't have to apologize to me for anything. That's another program. So the father opened his arms, didn't ask for an apology from the son. So there's all different types of interpretations, and I totally get the Bible. The Bible is a great place to learn lessons, great place. But there's also an interpretation, and my interpretation of God is not that God doesn't forgive. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. God allows a lot of stuff to happen. But anyway, I digress. Let me get to area code 352, been waiting so patiently. Hold on a second. Let me do this, click on that. Here, take this off. Area code 352, welcome to Reality Spirituality. What's your first name? Thank you for your patience.
Good morning, my first name is Bill Junior. We are going back on my
You might have to call, you're going to have to call in again. Your connection is really bad. Say 1, 2, 3 again. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Check.
Yeah, it's really, really bad, your connection. I can't even, it just sounds like mumbles. Call back again really quick if you can, and I'll try it again. I promise to put you on right back. Okay, so where was I? That was a really bad connection. Sure, all of these plugs are plugged in. Okay. Back to my thing about holding grudges. No one, I hope Noel is listening. No one, and I mean absolutely no one, has the power or the responsibility, has the power to hurt my feelings. I don't care what's being said to me. I don't care what's being done. It's still my choice. It's still my choice, and that's the practice, is letting go. Because if I'm holding on to a grudge, if I'm holding on to something, number one, I'm the one drinking the poison. Number two, I'm living in the past. Peace, contentment is found in the present moment. I'm living in the past. I refuse to live in the past. All of these buttons being pushed, you're being triggered, it's all about the past. And I totally, let me just get back to what Noel was saying, too, about being blindsided. He said his wife blindsided him, divorce. I would like to challenge you on that. I would like to challenge, meaning that there wasn't any sign, there wasn't a speck, there wasn't a grain of sand, a sign. This turning it around and really taking the responsibility for everything. Oh, he didn't call back. For everything, and I'm talking about my feelings, my emotions, my vibration, my energy. Yeah, that's me. You don't have the power. Nobody has the power to hurt me, but that's the program. The program says, yes, someone can hurt your feelings. I promise you I get it. And if, you know, I don't, I've told this story a million times. I'm going to have to tell it 1,000,005 times. So it's just about the practice. Let me get back to this holding grudges. If I wanted to, scratch that, not if I wanted to. If I thought it was going to add to my contentment and add to my peace, I would definitely hold a grudge. But it doesn't. It subtracts. Holding grudges subtracts from your contentment. Thinking that someone else can hurt your feelings is just not a true statement. It's a program, yes, believing it. Let me just say this. When I went, this was probably 20 years ago. 15 to 20 years ago. And I was giving a talk. It was in my in the chiropractor's office. My chiropractor, I was giving a talk. And about what, Rebecca? About the truth about happiness. What else? And I, there's probably about 20 people, you know, sitting in folding chairs, very impromptu. It was in the evening. It was a Saturday night. I'll never forget it. Probably 5 or 6 we started. And it was in the winter, so it was dark. And I was talking about the truth about happiness, and I came up to the part where I say that words are not powerful. I know the world teaches words are powerful. Energy is powerful. Words are just man-made. Words are just words. That's what I believe. So, but let's back up. So I'm speaking, and I come up to the portion of the talk where I talk about words cannot hurt my feelings. And this woman who came had a little girl. She was and still in diapers, but she was running around, probably 2, around there, a little younger or maybe a little older. But she was running around up and down the aisle, up and down the aisle. And I picked her up. I actually have a picture. I picked her up, and I started insulting her. I started telling her what a loser she's going to be in her life. I told her she was ugly. She wasn't going to amount to anything. She was stupid, and her parents are losers too. I mean, I couldn't have been more insulting to this little toddler. It was horrible. And the adults, oh my goodness, their eyebrows went up real high, and their eyeballs got real big, and their mouths fell open. You know that programmed gasp response, reaction, that, you know that one? That one? That's a program, by the way. What happened? Well, the adults were all insulted, and the adults were all hurt feelings, and I put this little girl down. And what happened? She just started, kept playing and doing what she was doing before I picked her up to insult her. Before I picked her up, she just kept doing exactly what she was doing. She could care less about what I said. So what I'm talking about is practicing getting back to that state. Because if I can do it, you can do it. There is not one word you cannot compliment me, and you cannot insult me. That's what the practice does. The practice is, number one, and I know this is the hard one, Noel, don't take anything personally. What? Whatever your sister says or even your wife divorcing you, don't take it personally. What? How can you not take that personally? That's a practice. This is an impersonal universe. You're talking about not very helpful. What's interesting is sometimes people, they don't want to hear what I have to say, but what I have to say is the truth. It's not personal. Whatever is going on with these people, and you're right, Noel, everybody is doing the best that they can do with what they have, including me. The sister's doing the best you can do. Noel's doing the best he can do. I'm doing the best I can do. The wife is doing the best we can do. All of us are doing the best we can in this moment. But it's up to me to be responsible for putting myself in a place where the energy isn't compatible. That's on me. Not compatible energy, it's all on me. Let me just back up a little bit. What else did I want to cover? I should have written it down. Back up to holding grudges. Yes, holding grudges, number one, it's a program. Number two, it subtracts from your peace. Number three, you said it hurts. These people... I was going to say, do they even know that they're hurting? You know, the program, do they even know that they're in pain? There will come a time, everybody gets to that time, Sometimes it takes a traumatic event, or sometimes it just takes getting closer to death to realize and recognize what is important and what is a priority. Even the great Steve Jobs. I mean, if you study, listen, the guy changed the world with the iPhone and the iPad and the iMac and the iWatch and I. But have you done any reading or about the last days of his life when he had cancer and he tried all of these herbal cures, you know, the billions, he could travel all over the world, which didn't work. And he was dying. And when he was dying, he came to a realization. And you can research it. He came to realize what's really important, what is important. And what became important to him were his walks to the park. Now, he's close to death. Close to death meaning that his cancer wasn't in remission. Walks to the park. And that's all I'm saying. What is really important? For me, it's feeling, having this energy of peace and contentment as much as possible, living in the present moment as much as possible, for as long as possible, for as many times as possible before I breathe my last breath, before I check out. You can't hurt my feelings. And so this is one of my favorite stories. Walter O'Brien. You can Google him. He's worth $50 million. He has an IQ of 197. I was at an event where he was one of the speakers, and he's responsible for the CBS show Scorpion. I've never seen it, but I asked to speak with him at this event. You know, the head muckety mucks. These big muckety mucks with billions and millions of dollars were in attendance. And I introduced myself to Mr. O'Brien, and I said, "Hi, Rebecca L. Norrington, happiness specialist." And before I could say anything else, I told this story a lot of times, but it's a favorite story of mine. I hope Nola's still listening. Before I could say anything else, he said to me, "Mr. O'Brien, Mr. Walter O'Brien, $50 million, 197 IQ O'Brien," said to me, "I would never hire you to work in any of my companies because what you do is toxic." He told me I was toxic. He told me I was selfish. He said I've contributed zero to the planet. I've wasted 35 years of my life studying and pursuing happiness. Happiness is an illusion. What I've accomplished can't be measured. Therefore, I've accomplished nothing. That's one of my favorites. I mean, you can't get any more insulting. But you know what? They didn't hit me as insults. They were just words that a person with 197 IQ could only manage one perspective about this thing I call happiness. One perspective. That's it. So the challenge is whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're challenged by, know that the challenge doesn't have to change. But you can change your perspective. So I challenge you, Noel, if you're still listening, give me one good thing about why your sister is still holding the grudge. Give me one good thing why you're not married to your wife. See, the focus on what's wrong, you can either focus on, quote, and I'm using air quote, what's wrong, or you can focus on what's right. And let me be very clear. One of the 54 program behaviors, you ready for this? One of the 54 program behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your happiness is having anybody else in your head. whether it's the sister, whether it's the wife, whether it's the mother, whether it's the son, whether it's your best friend, whether it's your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, grandmother, grandfather, coworker, neighbor. Why are they in your head? Why is anyone else in your head other than you and God, you and the universe, you and Source? Why is anyone else in your head? And when someone else is taking up space, because that's what it is, they're taking up space, they're renting space in your head, and they're not paying you for it, why are you even spending one moment of time trying to figure it out? The truth is, whoever is in my life, whether they're talking to me or whether they're not talking to me, everything is in divine order. And if they're talking to me, they're supposed to be. And if they're not, that's supposed to be happening too. That's how much the trust is. That's how much the practice of having trust. Having trust, being able to just lean back, lay back, relax, shoulders down. The universe has this. I don't have to do anything. This is a divine plan. I don't have to do anything but flow with it and accept it and let everything else go. But no, you can't hurt my feelings. And the other, you can't, no one. And quite frankly, the truth is no one can hurt your feelings. That's a program, boy, oh boy. That's a program that everybody jumps on. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Now, what do you need to do? You need to do 6 steps to make me to apologize. Are you kidding me? No. No, you don't. You don't have to apologize. If we are compatible energy, I don't need you to apologize. If we're incompatible energy, that's still on me. Why are you in my company if we're compatible? Why am I making that choice? Oh, hold on a second. Oh, okay, yes. Greg's take. Let's go, Greg. Hold on a second. Let me make sure this is on. Greg's take. Oh, what's up, Greg?
Hi, Rebecca. I love what you said about the encounter with the millionaire or the billionaire fella.
Okay.
That was immediately popped in when I was listening to you share.
Mm.
He looked at you and saw that you were nourished with manna that he's been chasing and hasn't been able to find. He's hungry, but he doesn't know how to not be hungry. And he saw that in you, and it upset him.
Well, let me say something, Greg's take. I just love it, Greg's take. Let me give you my take. Number one, one of the things that I don't do anymore is try to figure somebody else out, because I don't know unless I'm in their skin. I remember, this is just really quick, and you can come back if you have the time. I just remember I was in a Toastmasters meeting, and there was a father and a son, and this father kept writing his son, and, you know, just hey, do more. This was probably at least 20 years ago. And he kept writing his son, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And this was the day of a contest. So now he's talking to his son. His son's outside. Just don't pay any attention to that. And his son's outside practicing for his contest. And the father goes out there, and I'm looking at the father, and I'm looking at him. He's bothering his son again. Leave him alone. And then when the father came back in, I opened my big mouth. Again, 20, 25 years ago. I would never do it now because I stay out of people's business. Let me just turn this down. I stay out of people's business, and I don't pretend to know what's happening. So I tell the father, leave him alone. You know what the father told me, Greg's take? He told me, he says, I wasn't talking to my son. I had gas. I had to fart. Exactly. So since that one time, I do not pretend to know what anybody else is feeling or doing. What I do know about Mr. Billionaire or Mr. Millionaire is that he can only manage to come up with one perspective. But that's all I know.
This is true. That was on my end. The thing that I think of is if I have a grudge against someone, then naturally it appears that there's something inside of them that I think is separate from me.
Ooh.
Yet it's inside of me, and I have not yet resolved it, and I'm angry because I'm standing in my own mirror, and I'm blaming the reflection on them.
Okay, now I'm getting chills because that was just the truth spoken.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, my whole body is chilled up.
Good stuff.
So what are we going to do? What are we going to do about that, Greg's take? Because, I mean, we already know the solution. We know why. Let me just share with you. I have a current battle. It's over 5 years now when my mother died in October of 2018, and she left the house to the handyman. That's right, to her handyman. And so there's the handyman there. There's the attorney there. I don't have any grudge over that, but I used to.
Yeah.
But I could sit and have lunch with him, and it's still unresolved. I could have lunch with him right now and pay for the lunch and the handyman too.
Isn't it just fascinating? I've heard allegedly people that are really, really, really wealthy by American standards, countless millions, say they're not leaving their kids any money because they want them to work for it. And it's just the different angles are different. Like you said, the perspectives, you know, it's just so different. Some people leave a bunch and others leave none. But in the end, it's getting up every morning is still worth the effort.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you appreciate and you are grateful for this life, just being
yes.
here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Thank you for letting me, and I enjoyed it. Keep it up. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you. I really
do.
Be
well. Bye-bye.
I really wanted to get into your grudge, though, Mr. Greg's take. I mean, let's get this done. Well, you don't have to.
What's the grudge? What's the grudge?
Well, you're the one that said you still have you have grudges. I want to let's obliterate them now.
Oh, no. I was speaking generally. I don't have a specific grudge that I can think of. I'm not saying I don't.
that's what I'm talking about. Let's dive in. Nope.
Yeah, I'm down to like 4 seconds.
Okay.
You can come back in if you want me to.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I really do want to hear about this because this guy, hold on, come back, as a Titanic, come back. Why couldn't she yell louder? Come back, as she's blowing the whistle. Boop, 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 come back. Okay, let's go. Number one, what's the grudge and what are we going to do about eliminating it today?
I honestly can't think of one right now, but I'll try to think of one that would come to mind from years past or times past would be, let's say, being broken up with by a girlfriend.
Oh, those girls, aren't they the worst?
Oh, I know. I just those women.
I advise you to stay away from that. That's what I tell my son. Stay away. Stay away.
Yeah.
They're trouble.
Yeah.
Keep going.
That's right. To me, looking back, it isn't complex for me to figure it out. When that happened, I can think of one very glaring example when I was like 18, 19, is once the person did that, I didn't understand who I was. I was not in the full knowing of my completeness. And when they left me, I felt broken and empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to fill that space.
Mm-hmm.
It took me probably, I'm just guessing, a number of years, maybe 3 to 5, to just sort of start getting okay with that, and I just held on to it like a life raft. I really did.
And that's because of your programming that you held on with the life raft. Because if your programming was to live in the present moment and let everything go, you would have been the next moment.
Oh yeah, 100% agree with you there for sure. I did not know how to move on.
Mm-hmm,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember a friend of mine. I served in the Navy at the time this happened. He told me, and he was so patient. He listened to me just constantly yammering on about this. It just, I can't even tell you how long. And finally one day, he was not mad. He said, he goes, Greg, just write her a letter and tell you how you really feel. And you would have thought the clouds opened up. I mean, I was like, I never even thought of that. So I did. And it actually helped. It helped me to get it out on paper. And then I mailed the letter. This is when we used to write letters with ink and paper, people. Mm-hmm. And then later we had a conversation, and she said, I had no idea how you really felt about me. So communication helped for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what a great example. I love that. And the thing is, the program, listen, I've been broken up with and on and, oh, God, well, how am I going to go on? How will I live without this person?
Oh, yeah.
But that's another program. Let me just say something. I really do appreciate your speech and your professional without the ums and the ahs and the basically's and the filler words. I'm just letting you know I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, too.
But back to the grudges. Yeah, this when I discover, of course it's simple. You want inner peace or you don't. And in fact, talking about examples, there is a very famous. It's old though. I don't know how old it is, but you can just Google it. The Amish. There was a mass murder, and this man killed these school-age children from junior high to high school. They were all attending the same, the same classroom, different ages. And it was a man who shot these kids execution style. And in the Amish community, the Amish, even the parents of the children, went to the funeral of the man that killed their children.
Wow.
Yeah. So there are a lot of real-life examples of this forgiveness, and, the one of the most famous is, what was the guy's name? Hold on a second. What was his name? Oh, that's right, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. You know, when he was being tortured and nailed to the cross and stabbed and humiliated, he said, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. So it comes back to just letting go. That's all I'm trying to say. Is you are doing yourself a disservice when you can't forgive or let go. You have nothing to do with the other person.
Definitely. We're still friends today, which is a good thing. And that person went on to have three children and loved being a mom, still loves being a mom, and now has a grandkid. So that's a cool thing. And I didn't want kids, so that would have probably been an issue, down the road if we hadn't gone our separate ways. But just when I was in the 10th grade, my first heartbreak, I was like 15, 16. My mom goes, I feel so sorry for you. You wouldn't even eat. You were so depressed.
and see, that comes from not teaching or knowing how to act or scratch that, how to respond when somebody leaves.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and see, that's another thing. This program for unhappiness. Plus, I'm also writing another book, Questions and Relationships. Who is teaching these people about relationships? People come in the life, and people come and they go. And so, what is this forever happily ever after? Not that happily ever after isn't possible, but it has nothing to do with another person. Anyway, wow, what a great show. I really appreciate all of the contributions from Noel to Greg's take, meeting new people. Let me just share a few because I said I was going to. A few behaviors that are going to add to your happiness, contentment, and peace. We talked about practicing acceptance, surrendering without resistance in the moment. And, back to these men who these women have left them. That was the best thing that could have ever happened to you. If anybody leaves, trust me, it's for your good. It's for your betterment. And that has nothing to do with a man or woman. If they're gone, the universe has deemed it's time for them to be gone. Do you trust? Can you let go? And that's the practice. If you're living in the present moment, you can let go of anything. It's a practice. I didn't say it was easy. The other things that you can add, choosing your perspective, choosing a perspective. I talked about practicing trust, trusting, blind trust, being at peace with uncertainty. That means I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I'm not concerned, and I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what's going to happen tomorrow, because I trust that whatever's going to happen tomorrow is serving me in some way. Celebrate your growth and have patience. Have patience with yourself. Have patience with the process. Have patience. It's easy to have patience for a baby, for a puppy. Have patience with yourself. Have patience with this journey. Oh, witness more. Witness as opposed to identify. See, there's a big difference, this witnessing these thoughts in my head, witnessing the story as opposed to, yes, these are my thoughts. Yes, this story is true. I'm here to tell you all of that chitter-chatter that's going on. Witness it. It has nothing to do with you. And most of the thoughts in the stories aren't even true. What? You heard me. Woo, what a great show. Thank you. That's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday. I appreciate all the new listeners. Every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, LinkedIn. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'm going to be putting up new videos, I promise. I just don't know when, but it's coming. Ah, patience. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And the book that I'm writing now is going to be out in less than 2 months. That's the plan. Programmed for Unhappiness. And there's a whole chapter on anger. And there's a whole chapter on you hurting my feelings. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Oh, you offended me. Impossible. That's why I don't have any friends. Until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself in every moment. Be your own best friend, and keep these people out of your head. Someone else is in your head. Huh? Unless you're having a fond memory. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio, heard every Sunday with yours truly, happiness specialist Rebecca L. Norrington. And remember, happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you're going to find, the more contentment you will discover, and your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Get down. Yeah.